This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by SiteGround. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name's Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is Mr. Adam Englander. Did I say your last name right?
You did.
Okay. Well, I always ask beforehand because I am famous for butchering names. So, I usually ask, and I forgot to ask you. We want to thank our sponsor, SiteGround. We'll talk a little bit more about them later on in the show. Adam, you're very well known in cryptography circles, not only in PHP, but in other languages, Python, Node. You do a lot of work with cryptography. And so I'd like to talk today a little bit about that. And actually, I'm going to try to do my best to stay out of the way because this is a topic I know nothing about. But I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And the first one is, since you work with so many languages, what's the biggest mistake you see developers making with cryptography?
Well, I'd say that one of the big things that I see, one of the problems that I see in the world out there is that you either won't use a very well-known library, and people don't understand how to properly vet a library they're going to use. So in the PHP world, you go to Composer, you say you need to do encryption, you go look something up, you're like, great, I found this thing that does encryption. But unfortunately, with cryptography, you have vulnerabilities. There's always some vulnerability that comes up. Last year, or almost 2 years ago now, we had some big ones with OpenSSL.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Everybody had to upgrade everything, and the whole world went into a complete tailspin. Now, if you didn't have a library that was using OpenSSL or using some other sort of very large open source library, then the likelihood that you got updated and fixed was very small. So my biggest suggestion is make sure that you're using something, preferably something that wraps a C library. So inside of PHP, you've got OpenSSL. It wraps the OpenSSL C library. So if there's ever something that's wrong with OpenSSL, you just upgrade your OpenSSL in your box and you're good to go.
Okay. Sounds very good. So that's a problem that a lot of us have with a lot of different areas. That's not limited to just cryptography, and that you mentioned, and is that we install libraries that we don't vet, we don't know, and to the best of my knowledge, there is no authoritative service for researching and saying, yes, this is good code, or no, it's not. It's just we go by number of downloads and something like that. So that's good advice for everybody. And yes, back in the day, a couple of years ago, we had the whole OpenSSL. I was working at Pantheon at the time, and it was an all-nighter to get everything upgraded. And they have a great engineering team, but I'm sure they're not the only ones that were spending all night upgrading everything to get rid of that. Now, in PHP, we have a couple of built-in, starting with 5 or 7, we have the whole hash password hashing routines. How do those compare to, I'm sorry?
That's PHP 5.
Okay. How does the password hashing in PHP stack up? I mean, is this something that you would recommend people using, or do you still recommend people finding third-party libraries for this?
So right now, PHP, and I tell this to every conference I give a talk at, regardless of the language, PHP has the best hashing libraries on the planet.
Hmm.
It makes it very easy for you to upgrade as you go along. So as one of the problems with password hashing is that every year you become 50% less safe with your existing passwords if you haven't updated them. The PHP hashing library allows you to determine, so basically the problem is where the password hashing goes is you go through numbers of iterations, mm-hmm. and then you use as many as you can, but computers are only so fast, and you can only use up so many resources. But a year down the road, your computer's faster usually. Or 2 years down the road, you've upgraded your PC, you've upgraded your processor, your servers are now able to process more or do more hashes more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can upgrade, or like coming down the road, they're going to be adding in Argon 2, which is the flashy new hashing, or I'm sorry, key derivation function.
Mm-hmm.
And what PHP allows you to do is it stores all the information that it used to create your hash in the hash. And so you can go say, oh, well, I want to upgrade to Argon 2. If you've ever had to move from one type of encryption to another, it gets very painful. Where you've got to have like the field called old field and a field called new field, and you've got to migrate it between as they come in. It was the same problem with passwords, because you don't know the user's password. You can't decrypt the user's password if you're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But PHP allows you to have it has a function that just says, does this password need to be rehashed? Mm-hmm. So when the user logs in, you can then check, oh, this password needs to be rehashed. I'm going to rehash it with the new algorithm or the new iteration count, which is just phenomenal. And
wow.
It's super easy to do. So you can just basically rehash the password and restore it that way. And no other language that I've seen has that.
So basically, we're just playing a game of cat and mouse. Every year we get a new algorithm, and every year CPUs get that much faster. And have you played with any of the passwordless stuff? I know I've got a friend of mine, Eric Mann, who works for a company that does passwordless auth or two-factor auth and stuff like that. Is that just another stopgap, or is that going to help solve this problem?
Well, I lean one way because I work for a multi-factor authentication company.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I say, take it with that. But personally, everything I do is as passwordless as I can get, and as many factors as I can add.
Oh, excellent.
Because passwords can be busted. They can be broken. Recently, Google just announced that they've broken SHA-1.
Mm-hmm.
You can find, oh, I need to get this hash, and they can do it. It's expensive, but they can do it.
Yeah. Well, I remember everybody kind of freaked out over that, and then about 2 days later, saner heads started to prevail and say, look, if you're not Google, the chances are you're not going to break SH1 anytime soon.
Well, it's worse than that. Somebody other than Google can do it. I had that discussion with our chief engineer, and he said, no, actually, anybody can do it on AWS.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then that advice was wrong. I hope everybody's listening to this so they understand that advice is wrong.
So it's going to be a targeted attack. So to go out and break a bunch of hashes is going to be very difficult. And to do it real time, so if you're like signing messages that are going across, you're probably okay. But if you're using it to verify a download, or you're using it for anything that's long-term storage to verify authenticity, you want to upgrade to SHA-2 as quickly as you can.
Very cool. Hey, look, when we were putting together the list of topics to discuss, you mentioned the controversy over Jose. I take it that's not an actual person, but talk to us a little bit about that. What's going on?
So there's some things going on in the security community right now. So Jose is an open source project that is a specification by the IETF, the Internet Engineering Task Force.
Okay.
It is the basis of OAuth 2.0 using JSON Web Tokens. So a lot of people are familiar with JWT or JSON Web Tokens.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used by OpenID Connect. So every time you do a social login, you're using OAuth. OpenID Connect is based on OAuth 2, which is based on Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've been giving talks at conferences about using Jose to secure your API.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a couple things that have come along that anytime, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that are just trying to ruffle some feathers. But originally when it was brought out, some of the library implementations, there's an option for algorithms called none. So,
okay.
And it was the default for the libraries, some of the libraries. So that was problematic, and that people who didn't know what they were doing were using none.
Hmm.
And so they weren't secure at all, but they were adding a lot of complexity to their application. And most recently, some of the reference implementations had an invalid elliptical curve, an issue basically the next thing coming out that's going to replace RSA is going to be elliptical curve. It's harder math. It's a little more difficult to do, and you don't necessarily have to share secrets. It's something that's used if you're kind of familiar with Diffie-Hellman key exchange in TLS. Diffie-Hellman key exchange in TLS can use elliptical curve. And if you're using, if you're getting like an A-plus rating on Qualys, then you're using elliptical curve. Now, these implementations of Jose didn't verify that the values were on the curve. So it's there's a known flaw that if you don't implement this correctly, someone can forge basically your key.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And some of the libraries did this wrong. The Node.js implementation was one of the more popular ones that was out there. Mm-hmm. But it was patched. Now, personally, I wasn't using elliptical curve. And when I talk at conferences, I say, hey, use the tried and trues. Use AES. Use RSA. Right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about APIs where you're transferring data. And yes, RSA at one time will be hackable. Right? It's not going to live forever. But today, it's okay. And elliptical curve, you get twice the security for the same key size. So you get some added gusto there, but not everybody supports elliptical curve. Not everything supports elliptical curve. And RSA is super proven, super tried and true. OpenSSL, OpenSSL may have its faults, but you know that if there's an issue, it's going to get found, it's going to get fixed. And to me, that's the big important thing, especially for PHP developers who don't understand crypto, is you want to use something inside either inside of PHP core if you can, because all you have to do is just whenever there's a problem, you just have to monitor PHP security releases, and when there's a patch, you update, right? You don't have to worry about, oh, I've got this library and that library because I want to be more super secure than everybody else. If you're going with RSA with 2048 keys and AES with 256, the U.S. government says you're secure, and they'll accept that, right? You can get FIPS compliance and government security. You can get any government contract using a library that's going to support that. So
very cool.
But like I said, there's so many advantages to using Jose, and then the reason that we picked it here at Iovation was the ability to allow customers. We can say, hey, we're going to require AES 256, but if you want to use 384 or 512, that's fine. It just tells us what you're using when you send it to us. Or we say, hey, you need to support this RSA algorithm, but if you want to go higher in strength, that's perfectly okay. And we want it because we have customers that have minimum requirements where their servers can't support a lot of requests using very high security because it uses CPU. So we wanted to give them the opportunity to do that. And Jose is a fantastic, fantastic specification for doing that. It gives you all the information you need to know. This is the key I use. This is the algorithm I use. It's just on your side, if you're going to be implementing it, make sure that you only allow things that are secure. Don't allow AES 128. If someone sends it to you, deny it. That's what we do. We say, hey, we only accept AES 256, AES 384, AES 512. Is anything else? We're just not going to take it because it's not secure.
Very cool. Hey, before we go on to our next topic, let me talk a little bit about our sponsor, SiteGround. See, every website needs hosting, but not all hosts are really the same. And if you're looking for a solid and secure host for your website, your web application, or your web store, check out SiteGround. They're rock-solid technical people. They're easy to work with when it comes to support, but here's my favorite part. They're fun people to work with. But by the time this airs, I will have already been. But tomorrow, I'm heading down to WordCamp Miami, and they've got a booth there. I'm just excited because I'm friends with a lot of them, and they're just fun people to hang out with. If you see them at a WordCamp or at a PHP conference, stop by and talk to them. You'll see what I mean. More importantly, though, when you're ready to select a host for your next web app, check them out. You can find more information at siteground.com, and make sure you tell them Cal sent you. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the secure web. Year before last, something happened that has literally changed the web as far as I'm concerned, and that is a bunch of the vendors got together and formed Let's Encrypt and made it not just affordable but free to encrypt your websites. I mean, I've got a script that runs on my server every night at like 12:15. That just checks, is everything up to date? And if any of my certificates are within 10 days, it automatically updates them for me. You know, you can't get any better than that. Talk to us a little bit about Let's Encrypt from your side. I mean, is this a good service? Is encrypting the web really making a difference? Tell us from a cryptography standpoint.
Sure. I would say from a user security standpoint, the process of going through and the expense of keeping up certificates that a browser says that it trusts in its trusted store was expensive, especially if you're someone who deals with a lot of websites, if you're doing marketing, things like that. But all too many times you have individuals, these sites are collecting user information. And I personally will not send user information over an unencrypted channel. Mm. If you're not using TLS, I will not submit a form. Your browser will even, nowadays, your browser tells you, hey, you're trying to submit data over an unsecure connection. So what that allows is that allows the people on WordPress sites not to have to send their admin username and password over the wire, right? So WordPress.org, or WordPress.com actually, sorry. WordPress.com partnered with Let's Encrypt, and so if you have a site on there, you automatically have SSL, and you can get automatic cert. A lot of the big hosting companies that do WordPress in the PHP world, that's a really big deal, because for so long, you know, WordPress is for people who are kind of on the cheap. They're getting either free hosting or very inexpensive hosting, and they just need something to do what they need to do for their business or for their personal brand, and they need to do it quickly and easily and inexpensively. And Let's Encrypt providing that as a free resource has allowed those people to be more secure and not have them. You know, I think PHP gets a bad rap about security because of bad WordPress. Not that there's anything wrong with WordPress. WordPress can be super secure, and you see that on some really, really large sites that are using it, New York Times, ESPN, things like that. But you know, it's a very low barrier of entry into WordPress, and hosting what needed to be on the cheap, and SSL certs weren't cheap. And they weren't easy to get, and they weren't easy to install. It was you had to really kind of know what you were doing. And then, you know, Let's Encrypt changes all of that, right? You had some hosting sites that said, I'm going to be a differentiator, and I'm going to offer it for free and super easy, and everybody just had to kind of follow suit. Yeah. So I think it's really fantastic, and a lot of people may not know this, but if your site, you know, Google changed their algorithm, I think it was over a year ago now, that if you don't have SSL, then your site doesn't rank as high, right? That is a very large piece of ranking for your site. And there's, you know, there's a lot of things. I work in the security world, and everybody's very conscious about privacy. Mm-hmm. So it allows, and actually that's a big thing right now since they just passed something about your ISP being able to sell your data. So with a TLS connection, they can sell where you went, but they can't sell what you were doing.
Yeah.
So they can't track the packets going across and inspect them to figure out what you were actually doing and what, you know, what article were you reading or what thing were you buying. They just know that, yes, I was on Amazon. They didn't know what I bought.
Well, most of our audience understands that you know, ISPs can't actually do that. But a lot of people that aren't in our industry don't actually realize the impact of what was just passed. And it's going to be an eye-opener once people figure it out. Speaking of our industry, I was talking to somebody, and I will not name anybody because I don't want to shame anybody, but I was talking to a company in our industry because their website wasn't secure. And they said, well, you know, it's okay. We're just, you know, that portion of our site is just for surfing. You know, there's no collecting information. I said, no, you're harming your reputation if you're a developer-facing site and you've not at least got Let's Encrypt running. You know, it's just people know, or developers notice these things. And, I start to get worried when I go to a site and it's immediately not secure and it doesn't redirect me to the secure site. You know, it just... It's the developer in us coming out. So,
And one of the things that was actually a little controversial on their side, that on the security side we're very excited about, is the fact that the certificate only lasts 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And because what people would do is they would think, well, this is a difficult process, and it's really kind of a pain, so I'm going to do this as little as possible. And so you would get a 3-year cert and leave it up for 3 years, but, you know, during that time, whatever size key you were using, it's likely that it's not secure anymore.
Yeah.
So the ability to just consistently update and upgrade, and if somebody, you know, if you're someone who necessarily didn't necessarily know what they were doing when they set it up, and they may have, you know, your private key may have gotten out there, doesn't matter. In 90 days, it goes away.
90 days can be gone. Yeah. Well, and if somebody like me who, you know, my bash foo is not great, you know, but I was able to spend an afternoon and automate the whole process. So like I said, I've got a cron job that runs every night, and Let's Encrypt has it set up so that instead of hitting their API for every one of my certs, it looks at the cert and says, does this one need to be upgraded? And if it doesn't need to be upgraded, it doesn't hit their API or anything. It just keeps moving to the next cert. You know, if I can set that up in an afternoon, then you know, just about anybody can get this automated. And you know, my certs haven't expired in over a year now, and you know, I'm happy as can be with every one of them except one. The feed for this podcast, Voices of the Elephant, has to be on a paid-for cert, and that's because Apple does not recognize Let's Encrypt certs in their when they read their feeds. They'll simply reject it. You can't submit it. So, and I actually lost my feed at one point and had to redo it in iTunes because I had a Let's Encrypt feed and I didn't bother to check first. So,
wow.
Lessons learned.
Yeah. And one thing I think it's done too is it's driven down. I think at one time people thought, you know, a TLS cert is for people who are selling things or enterprises. Because I just found out the other day, I didn't realize this, that now on AWS, if you're using their Elastic Load Balancer and you're going to stick a cert in front of that, it's free now.
It Get used out. To be
ungodly expensive to put a cert on there, and to just the added expense per month of the fact that you were using TLS on their system was really high, and now it's completely free.
Wow. Well, that is cool. Well, you know, like you said, Google over a year ago started dinging everybody who didn't have it. So I listened to an awful lot of marketing podcasts, and you know, for 3 months before that went into play, all the marketing podcasts was, look, get your developer, get a cert, do it now. You don't want to wait until Google starts dinging you for it. So, well, I want to thank you, Adam, for being on the show for us. Hey, before I let you go, same two questions I ask everybody. What's your user group and what's your URL?
So my user group is PHP Vegas, and the URL is meetup.com/PHP-Vegas.
Hey, we were with them. They always have a meeting out at ZenCon with us the past couple of years, and we really enjoy hanging out with them at ZenCon. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. I want to thank our sponsor, SiteGround, for making this possible, and thank you for all that you're doing for PHP. I mean, cryptography is hard, and there's only a handful of y'all that are really knowledgeable and that I trust in giving advice on this stuff. I know a lot of people that will give you advice on cryptography, you know, but cryptography experts are kind of like recruiters. I only talk to a couple of them, you know, and so I do appreciate everything that you're doing for the community to help keep us straight and keep us in the know.
Well, I'm glad to do it. It's actually been my resolution for the year was to try and talk to as many developers as I can about getting right with cryptography and trying to find a way to help make their users more secure and protect their privacy.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.